This is lesson 10 of our podcast series on the book of Proverbs. Let's jump right in. Lord, I thank you for this day. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears to hear what it is that you would have us get out this lesson, God. Allow this word to take root in our hearts so we can start acting on what we know, God. We can start utilizing wisdom better in our daily life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last time we started talking about family. That was the next area, one of the eight areas that Pastor gave us to start discussing in terms of what we're supposed to be applying this wisdom to. Last time we started talking about family. We started talking about the household, how a household is built, the foundation. And so we're going to continue on that today. Specifically, we're going to talk about marriage. What is God saying about marriage? What do we find in Proverbs about marriage? All right. So we're just going to jump right in. All right. So King Solomon, we discussed King Solomon is considered one of the wisest men. A lot of the writings in Proverbs, are said to be, written by him. Here's the thing. He has 700 wives and 300 concubines. Clearly this was not God's plan or design. He was disobedient to God's law and was consequently punished for his sins. Proverbs highlights the kind of marriage God first established in Eden, one man to one woman for a lifetime. Okay? The husband is to love his wife and be faithful to her. You can read all about that in Proverbs 5. The wife is not to forsake her husband and seek love elsewhere. Proverbs 2:17 says, "Who leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God?" That you're not supposed to do that. They are to enjoy each other and grow in love and grow in their love for each other and for the Lord. When two people love the Lord and each other, God can guide and bless them. This is not a 50-50 arrangement because two become one. It is 100% devotion to each other and the Lord. So let's talk about the players involved, right? First, we have the husband. A man can inherit houses and lands, but a sensible wife is from the Lord. That's a paraphrase of Proverbs 19:14. Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. When a husband acknowledges God's goodness to him by giving him his wife, that marriage is blessed. Because his wife is a gift from God, a husband should be honored to be her husband. She is his greatest earthly treasure. The only person this husband should trust more than his wife is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When a husband takes a wife for granted, he grieves her and the Lord. He should love her and be loyal to her. The husband is responsible for guiding the home in the wisdom of God. The word husband comes from the word husbandry, H-U-S-B-A-N-D-R-Y, which means cultivation. So when used as a verb, the word husband means to cultivate. So as husbands, it is your job to cultivate and nurture your wife so that she becomes all that God wants her to be, inspiring her to grow in Christ. That's the husband. Let's talk about the wife. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her home, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Okay. If she walks with the Lord, she will be a builder. If she disobeys God's wisdom, she will be a destroyer. Let's see. Proverbs 12:4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness in his bones. She must be faithful to her husband, for a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. It's either a crown or a cancer, ladies, right? Beauty isn't the only thing he should look for. It is also important that a wife have wisdom and discretion. Proverbs 11:22, a ring of gold in a pig's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Proverbs 31:17, she surrounds her waist with strength and makes her arms strong. In her strength, she is not competing with her husband. She's not going through an identity crisis. She's beyond that. She's giving herself away to her family and her community. She has high standards, and she lives by them. We're going to go deeper into Proverbs 31 later in a few sessions, but, you know, just want to put that part out there. When God wanted a wife, when Abraham wanted a wife for his son, he sent off to a distant land to find her. You can find that in Genesis 24. And when God wants a wife for a specific man, he reaches across creation to bring you to that man. God sees us, ladies, as the ideal woman for that husband, whether he's here yet or not. He sees us as precious gifts under Christ, and he values us. His love and care for us gives us the strength we need to be godly wives. Okay. One of the things I think is important to note, that the book of Proverbs was written by guys. So there's a lot of verses about issues that wives can cause, but let's not, you know, get it twisted. These things can also apply to husbands as well. Proverbs 19:13, a foolish son is destruction to his father, and the quarrels of a wife are a constant dripping. Proverbs 21:9, it is better to live on a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Proverbs 21:19, it is better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and irritating woman. A wife or a spouse, for that matter, who quarrels constantly creates the kind of atmosphere in a home that would tempt the other spouse to look for attention elsewhere. Let's go to Proverbs 6:16-19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who declares lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. God hates family discord. We should do everything we can to practice in the home the kind of love that produces unity and harmony. Marriage doesn't... The next point I want to make is not like in the same thought process. Marriage does not change a person's character. It reveals it, right? So when husbands and wives trust each other, there will be harmony in the home. A husband and wife should complement each other as they seek to fulfill their roles in the will of God. A spouse is wise when they recognize the strengths of one of the other and let them compensate for what they themselves lack. This isn't a sign of personal failure or incompetence, especially if it's the man, and it's not going to work against the natural order of things. So if the man is a better cook, it's not a shot to his manhood if he cooks while the wife, who may get paid more, is out working. Both leadership and submission in a home are evidences of love and obedience, and one does not cancel the other out. So that's what I kind of wanted to talk about today about marriage. Keep these things in mind. Those of you who are married, you know, keep these things in mind. Those of you who are not married, who want to get married, keep these things in mind. Think about these things. Ask God to reveal some things to you about your marriage, about your future marriage, whatever, you know, the current state that you're in. But, you know, this is God's design. This is the roles that we should all, you know, be taking in that situation, in that environment. Dear Lord, again, thank you for your word. Thank you for revealing your truth once again. You're awesome, you're faithful, and we are grateful that we have this manual, this guidebook that reveals to us our roles and how we should be operating in our families. God, bless this time, bless the rest of this day for all of those under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all once again for listening. Thank you all for taking the time to listen to these pod classes. I hope they're being a blessing. And I'll talk to you next time. Have a wonderful day.